Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My great granny had a garden. Great granny was a creator of flowers and quilts that often had flower patterns. But it was her garden that I found the most magical. As a grown-up, I now realize that her garden wasn't all that impressive, and I think even as a kid, I knew that, because I had so many opportunities to see God's beautiful nature at work in so many different places. I knew that perhaps the most beautiful shade of yellow comes from a peanut flower. I knew that a cotton field just before harvest makes your body shiver involuntarily because for just a second, your brain thinks that maybe South Georgia has experienced snow. But my first memory of beauty for beauty's sake comes from my great granny's garden. Her garden existed only to make her corner of the world more beautiful and to bring her joy, and it brought me joy too. The names of the flowers did not stick in my child brain, even though I'm sure she told me what they were. But what I do remember is yellows and oranges and reds and purples and all the greens that you can find on leaves and stems and stalks. I remember looking for roly-polies in the shady places and fairy hiding spots at the base of plants. And I remember the moments, the months, when the garden just wasn't. Every winter, the garden plot became a patch of flat brown earth where no color or life or smells could be found. A patch of flat brown earth in a yard isn't all that remarkable on its own, but because I knew what could be there, because I knew what used to be there, that empty garden plot always felt more like a void than a holding spot. It's funny how your childhood reality gets challenged by your adult realizations. My childhood reality was that Great Granny's garden was magic and effortless. But my adult knowledge, however, knows about Great Granny's mental illness. How the hallucinations were worse in the winter months when she could not ground her hands and her feet in the earth. And how much each year was just a little harder to muster the strength to make her garden grow. As a child, my great granny was a grower of magic. And as an adult, I realized just how hard those long months of flat brown earth must have been on her, and just how hard won her magical powers were. Their life shall become like a watered garden. An empty patch of earth and people heard these words ages ago from the prophet Jeremiah. The context was exile. In 587 BCE, the nation of Judah was finally and officially conquered by the Babylonian army. Jerusalem's walls fell, the temple was destroyed, and many homes were demolished, and its people were scattered. Many people were taken back to Babylon to live as foreign people in a foreign land. Many settled along the way, creating Judean pockets of life and culture. Some remained in Jerusalem destruction to see what could be rebuilt, and some fled to unknown places of safety. And 50 years later, they were given permission to return home. In the passage that we just heard earlier from Jeremiah 31, Jeremiah tells a scattered, conquered people to sing aloud, to raise shouts, to proclaim and give praise. Why? Because the Lord says, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. They shall return here. Bring them. Gather them. They shall return. The Jewish people's verbs are sing, shout, proclaim, and praise, because their God's verbs are bring and gather. From the north and from the farthest parts of the earth, From wherever they have been and wherever they can be found, they shall return. A few verses later, Jeremiah says, "He who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps a flock, because the Lord has redeemed him from hands too strong for him." There are so many rich metaphors and allusions here, and every single one of them will preach, but oh, how I love how the Lord has redeemed them from hands too strong for them. Yes, the hands of capture and captivity and occupation were strong, too strong. But God's hands, the hands that were gathering and bringing, were stronger still. And their gathered selves were returned to what? What does life look like after being scattered and held by hands too strong? Their life shall become like a watered garden. But more than that, they shall be radiant, the text says, radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over grain and wine and oil and full flocks and herds. In other words, radiant over having their needs met, their bellies and their livelihoods and happiness met. And more even than that, they shall never languish again, never again. Young women will rejoice and dance. Young men will be merry. The old will be merry. Mourning will be transformed into joy. All, male, female, young, old, and everything in between will be comforted, and their sorrow will be exchanged for gladness. In short, verse 14 says, they shall be satisfied. In short, their life shall become like a watered garden, recklessly joyous life growing with abandon, with all the colors growing together again from the same plot of soil up towards the sun. Their life shall become like a watered garden. But so much more than that. Let us not be so fixated by the beauty of the promise that we miss the foundation. In the earlier verses, and the ones that I've been focusing on, Jeremiah tells us exactly who God will be gathering from the far corners of the earth. After 5 decades of separation and loss and fear and change, verses 8 and 9 tell us who will come back. "See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together. A great company they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. In a straight path of which they shall not stumble, for I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." The blind shall return. The lame shall return. The brand new creature who has no memory of what was before will return. The mother who was born during the exile and now labors with the third generation, who doesn't know what was, will bring her child to what will be. She will return. The weeping shall come. Those whose grief is still so present that the tears come with them, they shall return. Not mentioned in these verses are all those people who will come back relatively whole. No one has remained unscathed by the 50 years of trauma that they have just endured, but there are certainly many among them who will return happy and healthy and at least surrounded by loved ones. They are not mentioned here because they are not present, but because their presence is assumed, and the broken need to know that they are seen, and the whole need to be reminded that not all are so lucky. They are mentioned in the fact that God is apparent to all of Israel. The broken will be gathered. The changed will be gathered. Yea, though they walk out of the valley of the shadow of death, they will be led by brooks of water in a straight path. for they will not stumble because they are God's children. Our verses in Jeremiah 31 are so utterly hopeful. Images of dancing and praising and abundance of oil and grain and trading out sorrow for joy, all these promises proclaim a hope that is as wild and beautiful as the watered garden they are promised to become. But Jeremiah seems to know that a promise is one kind of hope. But a promise that acknowledges just how profoundly God's people have been altered in the previous 50 years is an altogether different kind of hope. It is a messier hope, a rustier hope. It is a truer hope. It is unwise to make any easy and simple parallels between the world of the Bible and the world of now. But perhaps your mind is already firing on all sorts of connections between Jeremiah's long ago words and our reality of right now. Or maybe not. My brain didn't make these connections with ease. It wasn't until our rehearsing scripture group that meets on Wednesday nights tilted this text in just the right way so that the light fell through it and on to January 3rd, 2021 for me. Verbs like gather and bring back and return fuel our New Year hope. 2021 was hard. On a global level, 2020 was hard. Pandemic, shutdowns, job loss, sick and dying family members, virtual school, flailing economy, and just general fear. This past year was not easy on anyone, and it was downright brutal for many. And that was just what was happening in the big picture. Because I know and I walk with so many of you, I also know that on the ground level, in the day-to-day happenings of our lived lives, this year has been hard inside your four walls. Yes, the world has experienced illness, but many of you have experienced illness, often ongoing, with long-term effects. Yes, the world has watched others suffer, but many of you have had to watch your mother or your father or your sister struggle. Yes, the world has seen the statistics of job loss, but many of you have tried to figure out how to prioritize between groceries or rent. Yes, the world has spoken of isolation, but many of you have ached for human touch and energy. 2020 was hard. We have been scattered to all ends of the earth, divided up into our smallest units, and we have been asked to endure as best as we can for as long as it is asked of us, and I can honestly say as 2021 begins that I am starting to hope. My Facebook feed is flooded with pictures of friends receiving their COVID vaccine. Schools are making plans to reopen. We as a church, we have been able to find moments of true community and worship on our front lawn or on Zoom at Blue Christmas or Anna Sunday School classes. I can start to see rays of light at the end of the tunnel, and that light is making all of the difference. I am starting to see and believe the words, "See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. I, who scattered Israel, will gather them and will keep them as a shepherd, a flock." I am realizing now more than ever that the arms that are too strong for us, arms that have held us back for so long, are not stronger than the arms that now gather and bring us back. I am starting to imagine being back here, in this sanctuary with all of you, because we will finally be allowed to return home and to each other. As this new year dawns, I am daring to believe that our lives will become like a watered garden when the past year has felt so, so fallow. Especially since we knew what could have been and that patch of brown earth, we knew what should have been there. And those things have felt so far away. While his people were still in exile, while many days still needed to be lived until the journey to Jerusalem could be completed and the rebuilding of the community could happen, Jeremiah offered his community a word of messy, complicated hope on behalf of the Lord. And I dare hold on to those same words of hope for us today. While we are still scattered, while many days still remain and need to be lived until hands that are too strong for us finally let loose, may our community begin this new year with a word of hope, because the God of Jeremiah is still our God, and our Lord has become father to Israel and parent to us too. We celebrated that beautiful truth just 1 week ago. Our life shall become like a watered garden. The Lord is going to bring us from the land of the north and gather us from the farthest parts of the earth. He who scattered us again will gather us and keep us as a shepherd keeps a flock. And we will sing and give praise. We will proclaim and we shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord. Our young women will rejoice in the dance. Our young and our old shall be merry. Our mourning will be turned into joy and our sorrow will be traded for gladness. Our life shall become like a watered garden. That is the promise of hope for our community. But to you, those of you who find yourselves relatively whole as this new year dawns, the Lord will gather and bring you back. This fallow brown patch needs you to break through the dirt first and to loosen the journey upwards for those not as strong. And to you, those of you who come back altered in profound ways because of what you have had to endure this past year, the Lord will gather and bring you back. God sees you especially. God sees the blind, the lame, the weeping, the changed, and has arms stronger than the arms that hold you now. We need you to make our hope, our dancing, and our joy messy and rusty and true. And to you, our children and youth, the Lord will gather and bring you back. We need you to show us the magic in our watered garden, to see hiding places for life, and to remind us just how miraculous it is when what feels like bare earth transforms into beauty for beauty's sake. This new year, may our lives become like a watered garden.